WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
Thank you for that warm welcome. That's toasty on a cool fall morning. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender and no Dan Sheridan. No, that's right. No Sheridan again. This poor guy has enough crises right now in his life to choke a large camel. Now, I don't know if that would be your three-humped Mediterranean camel or your two-humped Asian camel. But don't look those up. Don't Google three-humped Mediterranean camel, because I'm making this up as I go. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm lost without Dan. I look over across the counter at that empty chair, and it's very disconcerting. But I'm going to persevere. Actually, I'm having a good time. Actually, I won't be interrupted by Sheridan. This is going to be so awesome. I can say whatever I want, and he won't be calling me an idiot. No, seriously, I do miss him, so continue to pray for Dan. He's going to be back next week, the Lord willing. Oh, I got a shout-out. We got to give a shout-out today to the gang in Richmond, Virginia, who listened to this show, talking about James Huff, Wallace Barnett, Charlie Hepper, and Roosevelt Arrington. Hey, guys, keep listening, we'll keep talking. That's what I tell people. You keep listening, we'll keep talking. You're just encouraging us by listening, you know. I mean, it's a great encouragement to us. My mom used to tell my sister, don't laugh at him, it'll only encourage him. I'm just encouraged by all you people listening, and I'm telling you, if you keep it up, I'm going to keep talking. That's all there is to it. According to recent news reports, this could be good news or bad. I'm just going to lay this out to you. You can take it the way you want. Spiritual seekers are forsaking religious institutions en masse. I think there's a French word there, en masse. I think there's a whole heck of a lot of them doing it. I'm glad to hear it. Listen to this quote from Stephanie Nolan of the Toronto Globe. A revival is underway, but for a phenomenon with Jesus at its center, it has surprisingly little to do with mainstream religion. Yes, I'm all for it. I think there are people in this world waking up to the fact that the institution does not contain Jesus. Now, that's a little risky there, the Jesus thing too, but we'll get into that, because there's a true Jesus and there's the Christianized Jesus, who is handsome and has the windblown hair, the hunk. Now, that's not the true Christ. Listen, in the same article, Professor Peter Emberley at Carleton University in Ottawa, he says this: people aren't really going back to church; they're circling on the edges. They're on the edges. I got a lot to say about this edges. You know, you ask yourself, you probably wouldn't ask yourself this. I ask myself, who is this show for? Who are Dan and I talking to out there? It's for those people on the edges. I think there are two groups of people. Well, actually, there's three. Paul brings it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There are worldly people, and there are religious people. There are people who are into the world, and there are people who are into church. They're into God. Now, the Apostle Paul, surprisingly enough, tells us that there's a third group. You say, well, how could there be either there's worldly people or there's religious people? How could there be a third group? There is a third group, and it's believers. I wonder if I should get into this today or save it. Let's read some more of these quotes and remind me. I don't have Sheridan here to remind me. So I'm going to ask you to remind me to get back to this third group. This three groups. You think there's only two, worldly people and religious people. There's three groups, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But let's go to more quotes. Let's go to some more good news. In fact, listen to this from the New York Times, of all places. Lori Goodstein, writing in the New York Times, she says, quote, a growing number of Christians across the country are choosing a do-it-yourself worship experience. Now, I know that raises a red flag to a lot of people. Uh-oh, do-it-yourself religious experience. No, there's God's way and there's one way. Well, yeah, I can see how you would say that. We know there's an appeal of the New Age movement with the rainbows and the unicorns and the happy feelings and the cotton candy and all you need is love. Don't get me wrong, I love the Beatles. But it's not necessarily Christ-centric. It's self-centric. It's focused on our feelings and emotions. Not necessarily a good thing. And yet, I think it can be a good thing if it takes people out of the hardcore institution. Got much more to say on that. Anyway, this Goldstein lady, she labels this, quote, a decentralized religious phenomenon. Decentralized. It's no longer in the culture of the church. And I think a lot of decentralization is happening today. Used to be you had to go to Hollywood to get a movie made. Now with the internet, with independent film companies, the indies, a person who has a creative idea doesn't have to, you know, sell his soul to Hollywood. So Hollywood has been decentralized. The press is being decentralized, has been. You have the big three news industry, ABC, CBS, NBC. Now we have the cable news networks. We have internet news networks. We have blogs, all sorts of sources for news. And so the big three have lost their power. I think this is a great thing. It's the same thing with the publishing industry. You had to go to New York City. You had to either publish one of the big publishers, Houghton Mifflin or Random House, all these major publishers. Not anymore. Small presses have sprung up, independent presses, college presses, full court presses. These are all good things. Decentralization. Likewise, there's a similar phenomenon. I think it's lagging a little bit behind these others, but there is a phenomenon which is now seeing God decentralized. Does God live in the church? He sure as heck does not. God is lives outside the box. In fact, when you try to box God, chances are you're not going to find him there. No, it's a fact. You're not. I didn't mean to hedge that. Chances are, no, it's a fact. You're not going to find God there. So God is being decentralized. And now, you know, people are going to internet sites, they're going to blogs, and you can say, yeah, that's dangerous. Just like they say, well, you got to go to a doctor. You shouldn't get your medical advice from MD.com or whatever those sites are. Yeah, there's a lot of bad information on the internet, but there's a lot of good information, too. And people, when they're in the quietness of their rooms by themselves with their computer, they're finding truth. They're finding people who are teaching the Word of God with Scripture, and that backs them up, and they're being liberated because it's not the corporate experience. There's something that's so deceptive and easily to be ensnared by the corporate worship experience. But this is more of a, as I told you yesterday, more of a mesmerizing thing that can cause you to think wrong things about God. God's being decentralized, and I think that's good. The cause, now this is Goodstein's hypothesis here, that the cause is, quote, some are rebelling against the contemporary culture of the megachurch. Others say they have been alienated by pastors who hoard power. So, yeah, I'm the man of God. You listen to me. I have all the answers. Back when I was growing up in the Catholic Church, the priest had all the answers. Talk about somebody who hoarded power. You know, you only got your information of God, about God from this priest. And the contemporary culture of the megachurch, I don't know how thousands of people can sit in those places. It's a Disneyland. Can you imagine Jesus being part of that Disneyland experience? The lighting and the music and the worship and Jesus, are you kidding me? Do you think Jesus would go to a megachurch and just sit there with the masses and be mesmerized by a Las Vegas production? Are you kidding me? No. And so thank God that people on the fringes, and this has to do with worldly people, okay? There are people that I shouldn't even say that. We label them worldly people. Oh, that's a worldly person. They go see R-rated movies, or they drink beer, or they do this, they do that. They're terrible people. What? What? These are the kind of people our Lord fellowshipped with. And these are the kind of people who are interested in God. You tell me you can't watch R-rated movies, drink beer, not be interested in God? These people are on the edges, on the fringes, and they see this mega church experience and they laugh, they mock it, as well they should. They see Benny Hinn telling you to send him $100, he'll send you a prayer cloth and it'll, you know, cause your wife to have a baby or something stupid like that. And the sons of this age, the people of the world are wiser than those people in the megachurch. And it could be that you're in the megachurch or you're at church and there's something that's just not right about it. You can't put your finger on it. You watch television, you see these crazy television evangelists, Benny Hinn and others like him. You think there's something wrong with this. You can't put your finger on it. And then maybe you dial in this show. Somebody says, you got to listen to these lunatics, Zender and Sheridan. They're not very religious, but the stuff they're saying makes sense. And it sounds true, and they have scripture. These guys have scripture. They back everything they say up in the Word of God. And so the person who can still think, who hasn't joined that megachurch cult, is going to respond to that. And so there's people on the edges of both worlds, the worldly world and the church world. There's people who are sitting in the pew who are really on the far edge of the pew thinking, I got to get out of here, but I'm not sure what's wrong with it. Likewise, there are people in the world who are saying, you know, I don't really like the lifestyle I'm in, but it's either this or nothing. I can't join the megachurch. Ah! There's a third group. If only people knew that there was a third group. There's the worldly people and there's the religious people, and the worldly people think, well, God, I love God, but I can't be a Christian because they're a bunch of hypocrites. There's no alternative. Ah, there is an alternative, because Jesus Christ himself is not in the megachurch. He is not in the Christian religion. There is a third group. So for you, quote, worldly people, I'm giving you an expectation. Guess what? You don't have to join a church to know God. I know what you're thinking. It's either the church or nothing. I have to go to church because that's where God lives. No, he does not live in that church. And for you folks who are at the mega church wondering, there's got to be more to it than this emotional, mind-altering, there's got to be more to it than that. There is. There is a third group. And tomorrow, I am going to, because I'm looking at my time, and I don't have Sheridan here to be, he's pointing at the clock. I'm looking at it, and I don't have time to get into it. There's a third group. Let's get quickly to another quote here. Jeffrey Scheller of U.S. News offers this explanation of this phenomenon that is happening. Thank God it's happening. He says, quote, "We profess fidelity to traditional morality, yet champion individual freedom and resist religious authoritarianism." Wow, what a parallel I see with this and the political, what's happening in politics today. And there is a comparison you can make. Let me read that again. "Some are rebelling against the contemporary culture of the megachurch." Oh, sorry, that was the wrong quote. Jeffrey Scheller, U.S. News, says, "We profess fidelity to traditional morality, so we like doing the right thing, but we don't like it forced on us by a pastor who's hoarding power." Okay, we champion individual freedom. Why can't I have my own walk with God? Why do I have to be involved in the corporate worship experience? Well, you don't have to be. If you feel in your spirit to resist religious authoritarianism, I have to say that you're hearing from God on that. Because God himself wants us to resist religious authoritarianism. Well, we managed to survive another day without the great Dan Sheridan. Don't know how it happened. Well, it happened by the grace of God. I'm going to be back here tomorrow, and I hope you will join me. See you then.